Morning, everyone. So this morning's reading comes from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 to 15. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. And if you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things.
Why do we remember things? Why do we have symbols like the poppy that remind us each year of things? As we said with the children, it's because if we don't have them, we would forget. I used to be able to remember things, but I don't remember things very much now. I rely on my phone to remember things for me. But things like the poppy remind us each year of things. And imagine if we didn't have the poppy ceremony, we didn't have November, we would forget what those men and women gave in the wars, or what the sacrifice was, and we would cease to remember those things. It's fascinating how in the Bible, certain stories are repeated time and time again. If you look at the Bible, you will find the repetition or reminders of stories like the Exodus story all throughout the Bible. So we know that in Exodus, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. But then you find that referred to in Nehemiah, in Joshua, in 1 Samuel, in 1 Kings, and in Acts. And you find it in Psalms. Many of the Psalms reference that story of the Lord bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. And the reason they are reminded of that each time is because they need to remember what God has done. God rescued his people from Egypt. And then whenever these stories come up in the rest of the Old Testament, the people are being reminded, often at key points in the history of Israel. So, for example, in the end of Joshua, Joshua has led the people to conquer the promised land, and as Joshua kind of signs off at the end of the book of Joshua, he reminds the people of the story of Exodus. Nehemiah, they've rebuilt the temple, rebuilt the city, and at that point, there's kind of a little ceremony, a service of marking that, and Nehemiah reminds the people of the story of how God led his people out of Egypt. We're the same. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of what God has done in Jesus. And in this passage in 2 Peter, please have it open in front of you, Peter talks about how we have all that we need through Jesus. And he reminds us of these things. He reminds us to remember what Jesus has done for us. And we should be reminding each other through the words spoken in the pulpit, through the songs we sing, through what we say to each other. We should be reminding each other of what God has done through Jesus. So please turn with me. Sorry, and then one more thing that we need to be reminded of course, is the death of Jesus. And we remember that, like we have the poppy to remind us of the sacrifice in the wars, we have the symbol of the bread and wine that we take in the communion service, which we'll share this evening, that remind us of Jesus' death. So let's look at 2 Peter and see what Peter has to say about what that death of Jesus accomplished and what we need to be remembered of, be reminded of. So this is 2 Peter. Peter is writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who have made a profession of faith, who are trusting Jesus. And he's writing them to tell them some things. And if we look further on, step over to chapter 2, chapter 3, Peter is going to talk to them about the problems they face because there are false teachers coming into the church, spreading false ideas and taking them away. And Peter is trying to act to remind these people of the truth so that they won't forget these true things and be led astray by the false teaching. So he starts verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." That's just kind of the opening introduction. It's sort of the hello, good morning, hope you're well type. We'll be getting an email. But grace and peace be yours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus. And that idea of the knowledge of God and Jesus is a theme that's going to run through this passage. Because Peter's talking about what we know about God, what we know about Jesus, and how we must be reminded of that. So verse 3, Peter says this, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." Isn't that a fantastic statement? We need to be reminded of that. Peter says, God's power has given us everything we need. When I'm struggling in the week to know what I should do, when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling doubting, when I'm not sure I need what I need to do, I need wisdom, I need encouragement. Peter reminds us that God's given us that. God gives us that encouragement through the knowledge of him. If we are trusting Jesus, we can claim, as that psalm said, God is our strength and refuge. When we are discouraged, when I'm feeling I've failed, when things are going well, or when we're challenged, this promise tells us that God has given us everything we need. And he's given us everything we need through knowledge. So just as the Passover was to remind the people of Israel what God had done for them in bringing them out of Egypt, here Peter reminds us that God has done the same for us. He has brought us out of sin, and he's given us what we need to live a godly life. And he gives it through the knowledge. Peter says it starts with knowledge. How can people be saved if they don't know the one who saves them? Paul writes in Romans, "How can they then call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Those around us that are lost, those that don't know Jesus, need someone to share the gospel with them. And we spoke earlier, we saw the video of the Sazra men who are taking the word of God to soldiers and airmen. We pray that that will go with that, because it's through that knowledge that people come to know Jesus. It's through that knowledge that God gives us that divine power. Verse 4, "Through these he has given us the very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." Peter warns us that the world around us is trying to pull us astray. The world is trying to lead us into these wrong thoughts, these evil desires, he calls there, the corruption. And we can see around us, if we're not following God's word, if we're going with the desires caused by the evil world, it leads to corruption. But instead, Peter says, instead of that, you have got these great promises. You've got the power. You've got everything you need to live a godly life. So we should be pulling away from that. So Peter's argument is that knowledge, verse 3, gives us everything we need so that, verse 4, by his promises, we can be saved and we can escape from the world's corruption. Peter is reminding us of what Jesus has done. And then, verse 5, where Peter gets into sort of the meat of what he's saying. So he's reminding us of that situation we've talked about where God has given us all that we need. Jesus has paid the price of our sin. And then what do we need to do? So verse 5, Peter says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and goodness knowledge, knowledge self-control," and so on. Make every effort. This is a call to action. Peter just isn't saying, right, you've got the knowledge of Jesus, you're saved, that's fine, you can sit back and relax now. No, this is a very active command. Make every effort. It's not just try and do a little bit of it. Try, you know, if you can manage on a Sunday, go to church and listen to the sermon. No, it's make every effort. Put everything into it. If I wanted to lose weight, if I wanted to be able to run a marathon, I've got to put effort into it. I can't just sort of sit there and hope it's going to happen. I need to make the effort to get up, go to the gym, exercise, do whatever I need to achieve that. And here, this is the same idea Peter's got here. Make every effort to develop yourself in the ways he talks there. We're not saved by that effort. Peter says we're already saved. We've done everything. Jesus has done everything that's needed. As we sang, Jesus has paid the price. Our efforts don't make us more right with God, because Jesus already made us right. But our efforts help us to serve God better. You see later in verse 8, he talks about being ineffective and unproductive. And Peter says, make every effort to develop your faith so you will be effective and productive. So Peter is calling us, he's reminding us of what Jesus has done, and he's calling us, as a consequence of that, to strive to develop ourselves in the way he talks here. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. These are things that, according to Peter, we should be striving to see in our lives. And I'm sure many of you will be thinking of a similar list where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, self-control. So put those two together, we can see it's a combined effort. We need to make the effort to develop these things, but Paul tells us it comes from the Spirit. So we have that promise that the Holy Spirit in us will develop those things. So in this list that Peter says here, how can we make an effort to develop these things? So Peter says it starts from knowledge. We know Jesus. And I think there's just a note here. Peter says in verse 3, we have that knowledge of him. But then in verse 5, he says, make every effort to add to goodness knowledge. But, well, it's slightly lost here, Peter. There's a slight difference in the nuance of what he's saying. When he talks in verse 3 about the knowledge of him, he's talking about that sort of personal knowledge. When I say, I know this person, I know them well, then that's the sort of knowledge. So in verse 3, he's talking about that personal acquaintance. We know Jesus. We know Jesus as our Savior. But then in verse 6, perhaps he's talking more about we know about the person. We've studied them. We know what they said. We've read all their books. It's one thing to say, I know that person as a friend. It's another thing to say, I've studied them. I know everything about them. I've read everything they've done. I've seen the films they've been in, wherever it might be. So Peter is saying, yes, you know God, you know Jesus as your Savior, but make every effort to know more about him, to learn about him. Because as we learn about Jesus, that gives us the pattern to develop the godliness we're talking about. So Jesus says, add to your faith goodness and goodness knowledge. That knowledge of Jesus feeds back into this loop to say, yes, that helps us to develop the goodness that Peter's talking about. That helps us to develop the self-control, because we see how Jesus modeled those characteristics. When I feel in my life I'm not showing self-control or I lack that godliness, I should be looking to Jesus to say, actually, that's the self-control I want to model. I need, as Peter says, to make every effort to know that self-control. Peter has talked about the evil corruption, the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The natural instincts in the world fight against self-control. The natural instincts, when something goes wrong, is that fight or flight reflex. Somebody offends us. We either want to fight back or run away. But Peter says here, no, you should have the self-control that Jesus had. And we can see in Scripture how many times Jesus was affronted by people, yet he didn't fight back, he didn't run away, he met them on their own terms. Jesus showed that self-control. Similarly, perseverance. We face setbacks different times. Things go wrong, we lose self-control, perhaps we fail in various ways. But Peter says, no, develop perseverance. Develop godliness, self-control. That perseverance that means even though it's gone wrong, even though I've made a right mess of things, even though I've failed, actually, Jesus, Paul Peter says here, through Jesus, persevere in doing those things. And that can be difficult. It's a challenge. But of course, Peter's already told us in verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. So when I feel I'm lacking self-control, when I feel I've failed, when I feel I can't have the strength to persevere against the situation, actually, I need to be reminded of what Peter says, that we've already got the power we need for all these things. And in this list of attributes, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, I think there's a bit of a dilemma there, and there's also an encouragement wrapped into that. The dilemma is that the more knowledge I have, the more my knowledge of Jesus develops, the more that shines a spotlight on me, and the weaker I feel because my knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness are inadequate. The more knowledge I have of Jesus, the less I feel up to those standards. But the encouragement is, I don't have to achieve that by myself. I don't have to achieve that God, that Jesus level of knowledge and self-control and perseverance in my own strength. I do it, as Peter says, through his divine power. He has given us the power to do it. He's given us the Holy Spirit that will grow these fruits of love, joy, peace, and patience. It means I can do things in his strength, not in my own strength. I don't have to worry about when I fail and feel I'm inadequate, because God never fails. Jesus' power and strength in me can always live up to it. So I need to develop the knowledge there that gives me those things. Well, how do we develop that knowledge? How do we grow our knowledge of Jesus? We do it in various ways. Let's think of an analogy. Confession here, I'm a railway enthusiast. I like trains. Because I like trains, I love to go and visit trains. I love to take pictures of trains. I love to read books about trains. I love to watch videos about trains. If you get me in the wrong, if you're not careful, I will talk to you for hours about trains. I want to know more about trains. And the more I know, the deeper I want to go. And I spend hours researching one minute point about what happened with this particular train at a certain time and whatever. That's because my knowledge of trains takes me deeper. What does that tell me about how my knowledge of Jesus, how the knowledge that Peter is talking about here, grows? But in the same way, if my knowledge is there, I want to read about it. I want to read the words that God has given us about Jesus. I want to read what other people have said about Jesus. I read books that tell me, help me understand the Bible. I want to go to places where I can hear more about Jesus, things like coming to MTC Light in the week, because there I know my knowledge will be increased. I want to talk to people about Jesus, hear other people say things about Jesus. And so that's how we build our knowledge, by spending time thinking about, listening about, talking about Jesus and what God has done. As I say, the more we do that, the more that shines a spotlight on our self-control and perseverance and godliness, and helps us to build these things up. Verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's so we've come round in a circle. We've started with the knowledge. We've gone through those lists and things. And Peter says we must make every effort to add to our faith, goodness, self-control. And he says, if you do these things, he doesn't say when you've got them all. He says increasing. So it's a continuous process. We should be looking through all our lives to have that increasing levels of those knowledge and self-control, etc. He says they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he mean by ineffective? Well, we can imagine somebody who says, right, I've read the Bible. I understand that Jesus died to pay the price of my sin. And by Jesus' act, if I trust Jesus, then I'm right with God. That's great. I'm saved. I'll just lie back now and wait for things to happen. That would be ineffective and unproductive. But Peter says you need to be having these qualities. You need to be growing the qualities in increasing measure so that you are not ineffective. And I'll turn it around, so that you are effective and you are productive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul says elsewhere in the New Testament, he says, knowledge puffs up. But what Peter is saying here is knowledge is not there to make us puff up, to make us boastful, not knowledge for knowledge's sake, but the knowledge is there to make us productive and effective. And that means going out and spreading the God's word. It means telling people about Jesus, telling them about the what Jesus God has done. It means witnessing. It means developing. It means helping each other, encouraging each other, so that we are effective and productive individually, and by encouraging each other, so we are effective and productive as a church. That we spread that knowledge of Jesus. And it should be growing. We grow in knowledge, gives us the opportunity to go out. The people we go out to grow in knowledge, and we should be praying to see that revival, that knowledge spreading. And Peter says we should be making every effort to build that up. Because Peter says in verse 9, if we don't do that, if we're not making the effort, verse 9, if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Just as we said earlier, without the poppy, without the Remembrance Day services, we'd probably forget what happened in the First World War and Second World War. We forget the sacrifice made there. The poppy reminds us. And simply Peter says here, if you don't keep reminding yourself of these things, if you don't keep growing in what God has given us, then we become blind. We forget what he's done. We've forgotten what Jesus has done for us. Genuine faith, genuine growing, we see these things growing. Verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. What does he mean there? Do we have to do something to sort of tick the box to make our salvation right? Is that what he's saying? No, he's not saying that at all. He's already told us that Jesus, we know that Jesus has died for our sins. We know that only through the work of Jesus are we right with God. So what does Peter mean by saying, make your calling and election sure? Some translations use the phrase, to confirm your calling and election. And what Peter is saying is, the work you do, the outgoing, the things we do, are not what saves us, but they are signs that we are saved. As James says, you know, faith, true faith has these attributes. It's not the things that we do, it's not the knowledge and self-control and perseverance that make us right with God, but if we are right with God, if we are truly saved, these things will come out of us. So they confirm our salvation. They confirm it in two ways. They confirm it to other people. Some of us will have met people who say they are Christians, say they have repented, say they have asked Jesus for forgiveness of sins, but yet we don't see the change in their lives. They carry on doing the old things the old way. We don't see the change. When somebody is truly saved, we see the change in their lives that confirms that salvation in them. And I think also it confirms it to ourselves. A friend we were talking to just last week told me how they had a life where they were lost in sin in various ways, and then when they gave their life to Jesus, when they repented of the sin, suddenly things changed in a way that was just unnatural and just the work of God. And their life changed, turned around. And that change confirmed that salvation in them to other people, and it confirmed it to them. They grew their confidence in their salvation because they saw the changes that it would bring. So Peter says we need to grow these attributes so that we're not ineffective and we're not unproductive, and so that that confirms in us and the people around us the salvation and the work that God has done to bring those in us. End of verse 10, he says, for if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter says, if you are making every effort to grow in goodness and knowledge and self-control, you will never fall. What does he mean by that? Because we do fall. If we're honest with ourselves, even though we are trusting Jesus, we know that many times we get it wrong. We make mistakes. We fall short of God's standard. So what does Peter mean when he says, if you do these things, you will never fall? Well, there's two things it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean we're never going to get things wrong, because the Bible tells us that we will, even when we are saved, even when we are following Jesus, Christians, we still mess things up. James says in chapter 3 of James, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. James says we all stumble, we all fall. So Peter doesn't mean we're going to fall in that sense. Similarly, does it mean we can fall and lose our salvation? No, it doesn't mean that, because we know that once we are saved, once we have repented and come to Jesus, that is done and finished. Verse 3, remember, Peter already said, his divine power has given you everything. His divine power has made things right, so we're not going to fall in the sense of losing that. But what does he mean by to fall? I think what he means is, if we do these things, we won't fall. We won't fall in the sense of being ineffective or unproductive. And bear in mind that in this chapter, Peter is going on in the next chapter to talk about false teachers that are coming to the church and false teachers that are leading the people astray. And I think Peter is saying, if we make every effort to build up our goodness and knowledge and self-control, that will mean we will not fall into the false teaching. The people here Peter is writing to had these false teachers come in. They taught some new gospel, some new doctrine that wasn't Jesus' salvation by faith. And as a result, they'd fallen into error. And Peter's saying, if you develop your goodness and godliness, self-control, knowledge, you won't fall into error. And instead, verse 11, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the analogy there of fall, or in some version it says stumble, I think of somebody, imagine an old person walking with a stick. They need a stick to help them from falling, from tripping. Or perhaps they need someone's shoulder to lean on to help them from falling over. And that's an analogy there that we can see as well. The knowledge and the self-control give us that stick, if you like, to help us from falling into false error, into false thought. Or the fellow Christian walking beside us, encouraging us, teaching us, helps us to stop us from falling. So we can encourage each other in our knowledge and self-control in order that we don't fall in each of that. I remember somebody many years ago, an old friend, who had been a Christian all their life and had been sure of their salvation. Yet, in their final months, they started to doubt whether they were really saved. And that was because they were ill. It was because they were coming into their life and things in their mind were not sure. But Peter says, if we have that faith and knowledge, that knowledge helps us. The hymns we sing, the words we read, fellow Christians, keep reminding us that we are safe in Jesus' hands, that whatever happens, we cannot lose that salvation. Even when we stumble and we get things wrong and we are confused, Jesus is still there. Jesus is still our rock and salvation. So just in finishing, let's look at verses 12 and so on. And Peter says, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth. I think it's right to refresh your memory. Verse 15, and I will make every effort to see that you will always be able to remember these things. Brings us back to our full circle of remembrance. We need to be reminded because we forget things. We have busy lives. There's so much coming at us. If we're not careful, we forget what God has done. Peter says, I will always remind you. We need to remind you. We need to remind each other of the goodness, the knowledge, the self-control that Jesus has given us. We need to remind each other. We need to remember that Jesus is our rock and salvation, that God is our strength and refuge, and that God's divine power has given us everything we need. The Bible reminds us of these things because we forget them. The Bible reminds us of these things because if we're not sure, we lose sight of them when the little problems come up. During the next week, there'll be little difficulties coming up. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we focus on these little molehills of difficulties and don't see that great mountain of what Jesus has done for us behind it. We need to be reminded of what Jesus has done. We do that here in church. We'll be doing it this evening when we remember Jesus' sacrifice, when we celebrate the communion together. Let us remember that in all that we face, Jesus' divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Whatever we face, wherever we come, we know that God, that Jesus is our Savior, and God's power in us is protecting us, holding us, and will use us for his glory. We need to make every effort to serve him and know in knowledge of him. Amen.